Welcome to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And what a fine day to take your dog out for a walk, so now that the snow is melted. Hi, Eric.
Hey, good afternoon, Julie. I would recommend people bring a poncho or a umbrella, perhaps, if they are taking the dog out for a walk.
Well, we had a perfect snow for the Northwest, since we, at least in this area, have a hard time dealing with snow as far as driving.
Absolutely, yeah.
We had like a 12-hour, snowed last night.
Right.
And now it's all gone.
I love it.
It's like 45 degrees now or something.
It was nice to watch from the window.
Yeah, and the dogs, we had some of the dogs out last night, and we were kicking the snow around, and they were trying to bite it, and they had a lot of fun.
Excellent.
Good quality fun.
Yeah, just like kids, you know?
Yeah. So we have lots of interesting articles that I found today. Dog News, the origin of the small dog is one of the topics I'm going to speak about. I found an article about that. I'm going to talk about a border collie that's been taught over 1,000 words. I'm going to talk about this interesting article about a Swiss village that has an interesting, solution to people not paying their dog tax. Don't know that I agree with it, but... But most importantly today, Eric, other than the fact that the Dog Talk Show is brought to you in part by Invisible Fence Northwest, one of our biggest sponsors, website is invisiblefencenw.com. This show is...
Incidentally, that's why I haven't left the studio in weeks, because you set up the invisible fence in here. Yeah. So I just camp out underneath the counter.
It keeps
here.
Eric in the studio.
That's right.
Keeps him safe. So... Today's show, I would love for you out there listening, I'm giving you the show to call in and ask me your dog-related question. It really could be anything dog-related. My expertise is in training and behavior, also food. But if it's like a quirky behavior or something you had always been wondering about and... you know, just never asked somebody, now's your opportunity. You can call in and ask me your dog question. You could get some free training and behavior advice, or just get that nagging question answered. And we would love to hear from you. The number to call is 425-373-5527. 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So if you're out there listening and just had an interesting thought or question and thought you might call in and ask me my opinion about it, that would be wonderful. I would love to hear from you this Wednesday afternoon. We are live today, Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m. Again, the number is 425-373-5527 or toll-free 888-298-5569. A little bit about myself. If you're new to the show, I am a dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist. I own the company Sensitive Dog. The website is www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes and also do a lot of work in home. So I come to your house and either do a private lesson or behavior evaluation with you and your dog. You can go to sensitivedog.com to find out more about what I offer, but I am offering my services on the show today for free. So if you'd like to take the opportunity, perhaps you have a new puppy and you have a question about mouthing or house training, or you have an older dog that has a quirky behavior, or a question about food, feel free to call in 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So, in the meantime, I have lots to talk about. So, first of all, I think today is our 98th show, I think, actually, today. Which means that in 2 weeks, yes, today's our 98th show. So, in two shows, it'll be our 100th show.
Closing in on our centennial.
Yes.
I think. Something like that.
So, I'm having a party to celebrate the 100th episode of the Dog Talk Show, and we're going to hold the party on Saturday, January 22nd, which will be the Saturday before the 100th show. So it is Saturday.
It's like a pre-party.
A week, yeah. A week from Saturday. A week from this Saturday. So it's going to be held at Fido and Scratch, which is a wonderful pet supply store in Seattle's Mount Baker neighborhood, which is South Seattle area, just off of Martin Luther King and Rainier on McClellan, or off of McClellan. So at Fido and Scratch, a week from Saturday, January 22nd, from 6 to 8:30, and it's going to be lots of fun. I've got lots of giveaways just for showing up. You're automatically entered. We're going to be giving away treats, membership to Wolf Haven International. Wolf Haven will actually be at the event.
But no wolves.
No wolves.
Don't worry.
No. And so you can find out more about their organization if you're interested in sponsoring a wolf at Wolf Haven. You'll be able to do that at the party. We're also going to have Brandy Algren, who's the editor and founder of City Dog Magazine. She will be there with some issues of City Dog Magazine available. We'll also be giving away free one-year subscriptions to City Dog Magazine. We're going to have some treats to give away. The Natural Pet Pantry will be there with some products and a gift basket. Invisible Fence Northwest will be there. It's going to be a blast. We're going to have food and wine and chocolate, and you can bring your dog. We just ask that if you bring your dog, that your dog is not on a retractable leash, that you bring your dog in on a 6-foot or 4-foot leash so that you keep them close to you. And we also ask that you only bring your dog if your dog is comfortable in crowds, because there will be other dogs there and lots of people. So if your dog is uncomfortable, has any sort of aggression or anxiety, then best to not put them in that situation and just leave them at home. And we'll be sure to send you home with some treats that you can give your dog when you get home. So hope you can make it to that party. It is open to the public. I would love, probably more than anything, to meet some listeners that I've never met before. So please do come and find me and introduce yourself and tell me about your dog. And if you do bring your dog, I'd love to meet you both. That is, again, Saturday, January 22nd from 6 to 8:30. The celebration party of the 100th episode of the Dog Talk Show. Can't believe it. Well, we have, I don't know if you saw, Eric, but we have a new dog in training that Darcy has with her today. Darcy is our booth engineer, my partner also, and the owner of Healing Allies. She trains service dogs for people with mental impairments.
Yeah, and she German takes Shepherd. Her calls as people call in.
Yes, she does, our call screener.
Yes.
So when you call in to ask your dog question, that's who you'll talk to is Darcy, and then she'll patch you through to us in the booth.
I didn't actually see the new dog, but I'm looking forward to
meeting her.
Yeah,
she's a German Shepherd. She's a candidate for the program, and she's really, really cool dog. Her name is Quiz.
Although when I say meet her, you're not supposed to actually pet the dog or look them in the eyes or any of that stuff. So it's very hard for me because when I see dogs, I just want to, pet them.
Always important. Well, this
shake
is
their paw and good, be right. Their best friend.
Good etiquette for anybody is to always ask somebody mm-hmm. before you reach for a dog.
Right.
For sure. But yeah, service dogs typically, when they're working, they ask that people don't interact with them because they don't want to be distracted from their jobs. But I think sometimes people will say it's okay to pat them, but always ask. But she's a really cool dog, full-bred German Shepherd from a rescue organization, shelter, and got potential.
All right.
So we'll see. We'll see how she does. So again, I'm giving you this hour out there listening today, Wednesday from 2 to 3 p.m., to call in and ask your dog question and get some professional advice for free. Phone number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527 or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. Dog training, behavior, or food, or really any question, because I've had a lot of experience with a lot of topics, and if I don't know the answer, I can refer you to somebody who does. So I'd love to hear from you. I did have an email from a client, and I did want to share this email and talk about my answer to this question, because it's something now that over the years I've heard of a few times now. And so I thought it'd be a good thing to talk about. So I'm going to read the email here. It says, "Hello, a dog park friend recommended I contact you about my greyhound. During his first 4 years with me, he totally ignored fireworks, even though my neighborhood sounds like a war zone for 4 days in July. Last season, though, he was so freaked, I had to keep him calmed down with Benadryl. He's also suddenly afraid of referee whistles, both when there's a soccer game going on the field adjacent to the dog park, and when he hears them on a televised football game. I've made adjustments going to dog parks earlier before soccer players get there, getting TV headphones so I can watch football with the sound off, and making plans to go out of town next Independence Day. But I wonder if there's a way to train him out of this. This is the most important part here. I'm not sure, but I think what may have caused his change in behavior was being home alone once when the security alarm went off. If you have ideas or experience with this, I'd love to talk about this." So this is a something I've heard of, and it's been specific to the house alarm or smoke alarm, where in two situations, this one, and then I worked with a pair of 10-year-old Cairn Terriers a few years ago, and the house alarm went off one time, and it totally traumatized one of the dogs to the point where he did not want to come in the house. He just wanted to stay outside, and anything that even remotely sounded like a beep, like the beep of the television being turned on, or the beep of the clock radio going off in the morning would just kind of set him off. It would kind of trigger him. So I'm going to talk about my experience with working dogs through this. But let's take a quick break before I do that. And when we come back, I will share my experience with this. If you have a question about your dog or a neighbor's dog, perhaps, feel free to give us a call, 425-373-5527, or toll free 888-298. 5569. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150. Hi, this is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show and owner of Sensitive Dog, Dog Training and Behavior. Invisible Fence Northwest uses a balanced, gentle approach to help dogs learn their boundaries. I've seen it firsthand. They work with each person and pet as an individual and teach in a way that's fun and respectful. Your dog quickly learns it has freedom and fair boundaries, so is safe, happy, and secure. Isn't that what we all want for our dogs? Save $100 when you visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you're a Dog Talk Show fan. They're there for the life of your pet.
Do you have an injury, old or new, that won't heal? Are you fighting a cold or illness you can't kick? Do you feel like you've tried everything and are still struggling to find wellness and balance in your physical health? Have you been unimpressed with acupuncture in the past? For over a decade, Robert Meduzia has been making a difference for people who thought they had exhausted their options. Don't settle for pain and illness. Call 425-828-6190. That's 425-828-6190. Again, 425-828-6190. The Acupuncture and Sports Clinic of Kirkland. Heal faster, play longer.
There's an exciting new Astrology Hour, Tuesdays at 5 p.m. with Deborah Silverman. Deborah's unique blend of psychology and astrology turns planetary language into plain English. Join us for an interactive hour that's guaranteed to give you personal insights in a fun and entertaining way. Tune in to Deborah Silverman Live. Whatever your life question, marriage, job, family, relocation, or just curiosity, call for a live reading Tuesdays at 5 p.m. and visit Deborah's website at DeborahSilvermanAstrology.com.
This is Martha Norwalk. Every Sunday morning, beginning at 9 a.m., thanks in part to Jones & Company Pets in Marysville, we cover the world of living successfully with your animal friends. This week, as long as we don't get snowed out, we'll be here live in the studio as usual. I just can't tell you what we'll be doing. I am booking guests, but nothing is confirmed yet. So tune in and be surprised, or go to www.marthanorwalk.com, where we'll post the show topic as soon as it's confirmed. Martha Norwalk's Animal World, Sunday morning, 9 a.m. to noon, right here on Alternative Talk, AM 1150.
This is Julie Forbes, dog training, behavior, and nutrition specialist, and owner of Sensitive Dog, thoughtful guidance for you and your dog. If your dog needs basic obedience training, a behavior evaluation, or food consultation, I can help you. Call me at 206-372-7399 or visit my website, www.sensitivedog.com. I teach group obedience classes, in-home lessons, and evaluations, and a two-week intensive training program called Higher Education. Again, I'm Julie Forbes, Seattle's dog behavior training and nutrition specialist. www.sensitivedog.com.
Get current weather, traffic, and news. Visit 1150kknw.com and stay informed with Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk 1150 AM. Well, we had somebody call in. She was asking for me to give out the address of Fido and Scratch, which is where we are holding the 100th episode celebration.
I suppose that could be helpful.
It might be. So here's the address. So again, the 100th episode celebration is Saturday, January 22nd. Starts at 6 p.m. and ends at about 8:30. It's held at Fido and Scratch, which is a great pet supply shop offering healthy, natural pet foods, treats, remedies, supplements for cats and dogs. Also, unique collars, leashes, beds, bowls, toys, etc., etc. Here's the address. It's 2809 Mount Rainier Drive South, Seattle, 98144. Again, the address to Fido and Scratch, which is where we are holding our 100th episode celebration on January 22nd. The address is 2809 Mount Rainier Drive South, Seattle, Washington, 98144. So it's not Rainier Ave, like the big one. It's Mount Rainier Drive, which is kind of just off of that in South Seattle. So there's the address, and I'll also post that on the Dog Talk Show website, which is www.dogtalkshow.com. And remember, all of our past shows are archived on the website, and we are also available as a free audio podcast on iTunes, so you can download all of our shows for free on iTunes and take them with you as you take your dog for a walk. So I'm about to answer the question. I got an email about woman emailed about her greyhound, and for 4 years had never had a problem with fireworks, but last year got so freaked out that she had to sedate him and is now even getting triggered by noises, other like whistles, and even if it's on the television. And she says, "I'm not sure, but I think what may have caused his change in behavior was being home alone once when the security alarm went off." And that's something that I have now. This is the third person who's explained something like this to me, and
to share your life. Snuggle up in your bed, let your sweet smelling pillow ease my weary head. But your big dog was laying there snoring loud as he pleased. I say, if I lay down with that dog, I'll get up with fleas. You said the dog was here first. That's what you told me. You said the dog was here first.
People. And I was asking her about trauma and like post-traumatic stress disorder, and we were talking about that. And there's certain ways that that's diagnosed for people, and it's not something that you, I don't think you can really diagnose for a dog, but they can certainly be traumatized. And there's certain things that you can do for people to help work with that, like mindfulness, and certain things that you can't do with dogs because their brains are different. But I had some success with these Cairn Terriers, and there's a few different things that you can do. One thing that I did read is that you can play back, like they had done these studies about thunderstorms, and they actually played back sounds of thunderstorms, and they were able to get dogs that were triggered by it to get stressed out just by playing the sound of a thunderstorm back. And that's something that you might be able to do. It would be something you'd want to do correctly for sure. Thank you, Eric. Let's hope that no dogs that are sensitive to thunderstorms are listening right now.
I hope they're not stressed out.
But you, Eric, so quick with those sound effects. It's
I find
amazing.
It soothing.
It is nice. Yeah. I do too. Some dogs don't, though. So, but what you can do is you can use that if you can control the response, like by, for instance, playing some soundtrack of a thunderstorm. If that would make a dog nervous, then you might be able to use that in sort of desensitizing the dog. And it's not just a matter of playing it over and over and over again, but you'd actually want to play it well and pair it with something good that happens. So you could, for example, the probably most obvious answer for that would be food. So every time you turn the volume up on the thunderstorm soundtrack, you would, you know, feed the dog a piece of something really fabulous, like a piece of turkey deli meat or chicken breast or whatever. You could even use a clicker for this. I think clickers can work really well for certain things. I don't use them really in like my basic obedience training with pet dogs, but they can be really helpful in marking specific things, and especially...
Now, for those that don't know, a lot of us think of a clicker as just a TV remote. What, right. What are you talking about exactly with the clicker?
So a clicker is like a training tool, and it's just this little plastic thing. It's like a little rectangle, and it's got this little piece of metal that you click, and it makes a click sound.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a way to... You pair that sound with something that's positive, like food.
Hmm.
So you click and treat.
Uh-huh.
Click and treat, click and treat. So you click, give the dog a treat, click, give the dog a treat. And you do that over and over and over and over again. Eventually, it's conditioned and the dog associates the click with the good, you know, the treat or whatever good thing is happening. So I've used clickers for dogs that need just a real quick, easy, positive association to something. I had a dachshund, old dachshund that I worked with once that was blind and going deaf. And just, you know, recently they had noticed that the dog was getting aggressive. Like he would be up on the bed sleeping and they would go to try to move him and he would act, sort of react aggressively to them. And we were thinking it's probably because he's like startled out of his sleep and he can't hear and can't see. So there was no kind of warning for him. He just was getting jolted out of it. So I just recommended they use a clicker and go over there, click, and then pick him up. And he was like, sweet, you know. Dachshunds especially being so food motivated. But it's a really easy way to attach a positive association to something. So if you can work with the clicker and get the dog comfortable with a clicker and experiencing the clicker as, oh, where's the treat? Like, ooh, something good is about to happen. And then you attach the clicker and the treat with the thunderstorm soundtrack or with the beep, you know, whatever the sound is that, you know, agitates the dog, but you want to do it in the lowest version of the sound. Like, you wouldn't want to blast the thunderstorm.
Right. That would be startling for anybody.
Right. You know, just play it really, really softly, or if it's a beep, try to turn the volume down on the beep so that it's just a very soft beep, and then you build the dog up to it. And something that can be really helpful for dogs also in this situation is a type of medication. And you would want to ask your vet about this, but to help with the anxiety, because a lot of times if they are really traumatized, just like people, it's like, you know, something fires off in their brain and they can't help it. It's not a matter of just making a different choice. I mean, they actually have a physiological reaction, and it's like a full body reaction. Heart rate increases and they start panting and, you know, and they tighten up and all that stuff. And so giving them something from your vet. I've also had a lot of success with herbs from holistic vets to help with fireworks, so that it's not not like a pharmaceutical. But ask your vet about that. Ask your normal vet, your holistic vet, about different ways to help the dogs, especially in those situations, you know, New Year's, 4th of July, where you know it's going to be fireworks, or around here, like Sea Fair, when the Blue Angels are flying over. I know a lot of children and dogs, it's like their nightmare.
Right.
What is going on? So that can really help. And the other thing, too, is training. You know, in the case of these two little terriers that I worked with, they were 10 years old and they hadn't had any training ever. So teaching them some basics, because that actually, you know, if they've never been worked in that way, they've never been taught how to think and focus and make choices in a certain way. And it's just so beneficial for them. So one of the problems with one of the male terriers was that he didn't want to even come in the house. So bringing him in the house and putting his mind at work in the house and having him sit and having him lay down and just kind of running him through all of his paces in a way that was really constructive and building confidence for him, but also making him think and focus. That also helped him not just be so driven by impulse and feeling, but that he was actually able to have some thought processes. Getting a dog that hasn't had any training, and most of the time people are working with puppies in this situation, but or a dog that they've adopted as an adult dog, but if the dog hasn't had any training, getting the dog some solid obedience training can often have a general grounding, calming effect on the dog, a very desirable grounding, calming effect on the dog, and it gives them confidence in a really good way. It can give confidence to dogs who are really shy. It can also put some structure and boundaries in for some dogs that are a little out of control. So, you know, that's almost always part of what I do, is that always we're talking about training, because it's about communication, opening up the lines of communication, because without communication, you can't educate. But with some of these really intense fear things, it can be really helpful to use some sort of drug to help with anxiety or sedation, or herbs. I've had a lot of luck with herbs too, like for fireworks, to just kind of help take the edge off. But you always want to do some behavioral work as well, if you don't want to just be reliant on the drugs. So thanks for the question. That was an emailed question. You can always get in touch with me via email at host@dogtalkshow.com. We are taking callers today. So if you are out there and you have a question about your dog or family's dog, feel free to give us a call. The phone number is 425-373-5527. That's 425-373-5527, or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. We'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
That's what you told me. You said the dog was here first. Yeah, you said the dog was here first. If you don't like it, you can leave.
The Natural Pet Pantry offers everything you need for feeding your pet a raw food diet. Most health issues pets face today are a result of poor diet. The Natural Pet Pantry makes raw, cooked, and custom meals for your pets, all prepared locally using only grade A meats and vegetables. Located in stores around the Puget Sound, The home delivery is available from Stanwood to Gig Harbor. Visit naturalpetpantry.com or call 206-248-1079 for more information on how to add health and longevity to your beloved pet's life. That's naturalpetpantry.com.
Camley Electric Incorporated is a full-service electrical contractor. From simple home repairs to full remodels, new construction, and small commercial projects, our qualified electricians do it all. We pride ourselves on our workmanship and professional standards, delivered with value in mind. Located in historic Ballard, Camley Electric serves the greater Seattle metropolitan area. Licensed, bonded, and insured. Camley Electric welcomes all inquiries about your electrical needs. Visit the website KemleyElectric.com. That's K-E-M-L-Y Electric.com.
Hi, I'm Vicki St. Clair. I want to invite you to join me every Monday at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. We'll talk with innovative business leaders, medical and health professionals, authors, filmmakers, adventurers, and ordinary people leading extraordinary lives. Join me Mondays at noon for Conversations Live with Vicki St. Clair. Check out our guest schedule at conversationslive.net and join me Mondays at noon.
This is Kim Ariano. Join me on Wednesdays at 4 o'clock for Walk the Talk with Kim. We will focus on nonprofit and community organizations to strengthen our community through knowledge, leadership, and collaboration. We will challenge our listeners to walk the talk and take action to support the health and growth of our nonprofit community. You will be inspired with stories of triumph and lessons in leadership. So put on your walking shoes, grab your brain, and let's walk the talk with Kim. Every Wednesday at 4 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150.
Do you want to improve your health, take less medicine, or avoid medication at all? The naturopathic physicians at the Institute of Complementary Medicine, with over 60 years of experience, will help you on natural, practical solutions for better health. Ready for your annual checkup, feeling stressed or anxious, or have a chronic problem like allergies, diabetes, or sleep issues? Call 206-726-0034 or go to www.icmedicine.com to schedule an appointment. We're located on First Hill in Seattle, and most insurance is accepted. 206-726-0034. icmedicine.com. Natural medicine at its best.
Talk radio with a difference. Alternative Talk, 1150 AM.
The dog had grabbed my leg and made it like it was his paw. You said the dog was here first. That's what you told me. You said.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. And I've got some very interesting articles to talk about, but I will only talk about them if you do not have any questions for me. So, those of you out there listening, this Wednesday afternoon, it's 2:35, we're live. Love to have you call in and ask your dog training, behavior, or nutrition question, or really any question that you might have. I'd love to answer your question. You have the opportunity to talk to an expert, no charge. When does that happen, other than radio, really? What a great service. So I'd love to hear from you. 425-373-5527 or toll free. You can call in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. Well, I found an article that says Swiss village threatens to put down dogs whose owners don't pay taxes.
I don't like the sound of that.
No.
What happened to remaining neutral?
I know. Well, and this was posted today. I got this off of pawnation.com. It was posted today, January 12th. In most towns, authorities may threaten you with massive fines, liens, or even foreclosure if you don't pay your taxes. But in the Swiss village of Reichenwiller, I'm sure I did not pronounce that correctly, they may just put your dog down.
I think it's pronounced Ricola.
Close. As bizarre as it may sound, one small Swiss town has discovered that it has a severe law on the books to punish owners who don't pay their annual dog tax. Yes, they even have a tax for owning a dog. According to the Huffington Post, tax officials recently discovered that a 1904 law gives the city government the authority to kill a dog if its owner fails to pay the canine tax, $50 a year. Now, I think this is similar to, like, registration. And the main, and I don't know, Huffington Post, isn't that, there's sort of some controversy around that as being not true?
No, I don't think that's
all right.
The
sorry.
Case. It's generally fairly political, though. So
yeah.
It's interesting they would cover this.
Well, so I don't know. The laws in the books, whether they would actually do it or not, I don't know. But the reason why I wanted to bring this up, other than that it's sort of an interesting, quirky thing, but to just let people know that registering your animals is a very important thing to do because it supports animal control services and shelters in your city and county. And animal control officers are extremely needed in this, in all areas. They are the people who answer the calls, who investigate animal abuse, mm-hmm. who handle aggressive animals or stray animals. There's such an important service, and with all of the budget cuts, it's a service that's really, along with many others, really hurting for funding, and that is so greatly how they're funded, through you registering your pet. So, you know, and it's not that much. I think it's like $40 or something, and that might even get you a 2-year registration, but you can check that out with your city's animal shelter, animal control office, about registration. But I really encourage you to do that because they really, it's a service that we can't live without, and that's greatly how it's funded, is through registering your dog and cat. And I know, like, some people have cats and the cats don't leave the house, so they think that they don't have to register the cats. And but, you know, it's a really great thing to do, and you'll be, you know, above the books that way too. But really important to support that service because it's really, really necessary. So I really encourage you to register your pets with your city or county and help support your animal control services because they are we have a huge need for them. So let's see. I was really curious, and I was talking in conversation, it might have been with Darcy, about little dogs. And we were sort of pondering where and, you know, when did little dogs kind of come into the picture? Because I've talked before about the evolution of dogs and dogs coming from wolves. And there's also this study that was done in Russia with foxes. And they really found the connection between flight distance and aggression with other things that are specific to dogs, like floppy ears and barking. And anyway, it's really, really interesting stuff. But I was kind of like, what about little dogs? Because, I mean, if there's anything, you know, the furthest away from a wolf would be like a Yorkie or, you know, Maltese or something like that. So I actually found an article, and I found a lot of really great articles through sciencedaily.com. So if you go to Science Daily and just search for dog or dogs or small dogs in this case. So I found that this was posted last March. A genetics study has found that small domestic dogs probably originated in the Middle East more than 12,000 years ago. Research writing in the open access journal BMC Biology traced the evolutionary history of the IGF-1 gene, which is the gene that points to dogs being smaller in body size. It's a mutation, finding that the version of the gene that is a major determinant of small size probably originated as a result of the domestication of the Middle Eastern gray wolf. Melissa Gray and Robert Wayne from the University of California, Los Angeles, led a team of researchers who surveyed a large sample of gray wolf populations. She said that the mutation for small body size postdates the domestication of dogs, but because all small dogs possess this variant of IGF-1, it probably arose early in their history. So more than 12,000 years ago, I guess they've found some evidence that certain there's been old sites in Belgium, Germany, and Western Russia that contain older remains of dogs 13,000 to 31,000 years ago. But these are larger dogs. So the little dog, it looks like, has been around for at least 12,000 years. And that's such a long time. And that brings me to the next topic, which is another article that I found on ScienceDaily.com about a border collie that comprehends over 1,000 object names as verbal reference. So this is a border collie named Chaser. And researchers at Wofford College discovered that a border collie comprehends the names of over 1,000 objects, differentiating between names of objects and orders to fetch them. So they can tell the difference between, like, just identifying an object and a command, which, I mean, a lot of this information, people who work with dogs or have lived with dogs are going to be like, duh, you know, yeah, they get the difference. We know. But, you know, they have to do studies about it. But it is interesting. They did find out some, you know, kind of interesting things, and they were able to prove it in a study. So that tends to be what's needed for, you know, large populations, or at least it's the other scientists to believe it. There was a question as to how far the dog could go, because they basically ran out of time and stopped teaching the dog new words, but there was no indicator that there was a cap on how many words that the dog could learn. But there was one of their experiments demonstrated that Chaser, and that's the name of the border collie, really understands that these are names, not commands, to fetch the object. In order to test independence of meaning of nouns and commands, the authors randomly combined nouns with commands to see if Chaser would produce the correct behavior toward the correct object in each trial without special training, and he did correctly. They did another experiment that demonstrated that the dog also understands names for categories of objects or common nouns, so not just individual names, but also Chaser learned that the name toy referred to all of the objects that she was allowed to play with, which was 1,022 objects. So she was able to learn that toy referred to all of them, but that they each had their own name. And that's what they mean by proper noun. Interesting, too, that they also learned that the dog was able to sort of learn a word by like they had a bunch of objects where she knew the names of all of them, and then they introduced a new object that she had not learned the name of, and then when they gave her an unfamiliar name, she just was able to figure out that it was probably the new object. Like, well, it's not any of those, so it must be this one, and then went and picked out the new one and brought that. And that was really interesting that they were able to prove that she could, what is that, process of elimination? Is that what that's called?
Yeah, I would think so.
That, like, she kind of was able to learn by that. Well, you're telling me to go get this, and I don't know that word, but I know all these other ones, so it must be the one I don't know. Interesting thought process. So the connection between those two, I was leading into that. I'm going to talk about that, but let's take a quick break. There is still time if you would like to call in. We have a whole nother segment left. If you'd like to call in and ask your question, your dog-related question, we'd love to hear from you. 425-373-5527. Or toll-free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. You're listening to The Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.
Looking for the perfect collar for your dog or cat, but all the stores have all the same selection? Can't find just the right bed to fit your home and your pet? Is your pup feeling chilly and wanting a coat to keep warm? Bido and Scratch is Seattle's perfectly balanced pet supply store, carrying everything you need to furnish and feed your cat or dog. They are located in Seattle's Mount Baker neighborhood, just around the corner from the new Mount Baker Light Rail Station on McClellan. Visit Bido and Scratch on December 4th and 5th. They'll be hosting professional holiday pet portraits and pet food drive. For more information, contact the store at 206-588-2111 or friend Fido and Scratch on Facebook.
This is Julie Forbes, your host of the Dog Talk Show. If you've been listening, you already know how I feel about Invisible Fence Northwest and their safety solutions for dogs. But get this, they help cats too. They tell me they've helped thousands of felines enjoy safe freedom outdoors or can keep them safe inside. They also have gentle ways to create a dog-free zone for your cat, so your dog will stay away from your cat's food and litter box. Visit InvisibleFenceNW.com or call 800-800-FENCE and tell them you want the Dog Talk Show discount.
We all want to feel good, and when we look good, we just feel better. Hi, I'm Shawn Dene, inviting you to join Dr. Dawn and myself on Radiant You Radio. We will explore the good, the bad, and the ugly about looking fine. We'll throw the spotlight onto procedures, treatments, and nutritional methods to help you become a more radiant you.
Don't miss Radiant You Radio every Friday at 2 p.m. right here on Alternative Talk 1150. Let Haute Portraiture paint your dog in a stylish, abstract, realistic style. Jennifer Bloom captures the personality of any canine, big or small, mutt or purebred. Include yourself in the painting, or just your dog. Either way, you're sure to love the end result. Call Jennifer at 206-661-4538. That's 206-661-4538. Or see more at hauteportraiture.net. That's H-A-U-T-E, portraiture.net.
Let's play 10 questions. What is new at KKNW?
Real estate radio.
What's the show about?
Real estate?
Actually, Val, we focus on buying, selling, owning, and financing residential real estate.
That's right, at the ground level, where most of us live.
Who are you guys?
Well, I'm Rob Gray, a broker in West Seattle.
And I'm Craig Goble with Cascade Pacific Mortgage.
We're both active real estate professionals, and we're in the trenches every day.
Don't miss Real Estate Radio at its new time, at 2 o'clock every Thursday here on Alternative Talk 1150. Many dogs love to ride in the car, but boy, they can really do a number on the interior with their nails and teeth. Did you know that you can have the interior vinyl and leather dents and tears repaired rather than having to replace an entire section or door? Color Masters Northwest offers leather, vinyl, and velour restoration with the option of on-site repairs and affordability of saving you from having to order a whole new part. You don't have to wait to replace your entire door or console. Just call Color Masters Northwest and have your dog's unsightly handiwork repaired quickly and affordably. Call 425-681-9355 or visit ColorMastersNW.com to schedule an appointment today. That's 425-681-9355 or online at ColorMastersNW.com.
Click the shows page on 1150KKNW.com for the scoop on Alternative Talk 1150 AM.
Welcome back to the Dog Talk Show. I'm your host, Julie Forbes. You're listening to Alternative Talk, 1150 AM. There's still time if you would like to call in and ask your dog question. We'd love to hear from you. Numbers 425-373-5527 or toll free in Western Washington, 888-298-5569. So the study about where small dogs originated, and that's, you can find that full article on sciencedaily.com. I'll also post links to all of these articles on the Dog Talk Show homepage, which is www.dogtalkshow.com. The link between the small dogs and the border collie, who's learned over 1,000 words, is that, I guess the point that I'm wanting to make is that dogs have been living with people for over 14,000 years. Evidence shows that they've found some remains that date to 31,000 years ago of larger dogs. But that's a long time for people, well, for two species to be living together, basically mm-hmm. co-evolving.
And how long have the little dogs been being carried around in people's purses?
I would assert less than 100 years.
Ah, okay.
Yeah, that's definitely more of a recent thing. I mean, that's an interesting point, too, because even 30 years ago, probably, you weren't seeing that.
No, you weren't.
Commonly.
Yeah. And I think that was probably a good thing.
Well, depends on who you ask.
Right. Well, that's just my opinion.
Yeah. Well, you know, some people sort of frown upon dressing up animals and carrying them around and all that type of stuff. And you know, I mean, to each his own, right?
Sure.
As long as the dogs are being well cared for, and that the dogs that do get carried around do get some exercise themselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's all I really request. But yeah, I mean, dogs have been living with people for so long. They're such experts in human behavior. So it just seems like they're really underestimated, and that people are surprised at things that I guess I take for granted because I've been working with dogs for years and, you know, work with them and train them and teach them, that I have a very deep understanding of how they think, and I think a fairly good understanding of how they experience the world, although there's certainly a lot that nobody knows about that. But, you know, it kind of like I had one person, Eric, one time I didn't know, or they were not somebody that really knew dogs very well. And I think I went over and they had their first dog ever. And I came back for like a second lesson, and the dog recognized me, like remembered me.
Mm-hmm.
And they were shocked. Like, oh my gosh, he remembers you. Like, wow, you know? And I was kind of like, yeah, of course. I mean, it would be like me coming back next week and being shocked that you remembered me, kind of. Even though I've been coming here for now almost 100 weeks.
In my defense, I do meet a lot of people, so.
Right.
You know, sometimes.
Well, dogs,
I
just don't think that we give dogs enough credit. And,
oh, that's true.
And yeah. The border collie that's learned over 1,000 words. I mean, that's a border collie. And, you know, the herding breeds for sure are, I think that comes a lot easier for them. But any breed on average can learn hundreds of words. And it's just a matter of, you know, learning how to teach them and taking the time to do it. And these researchers with this border collie, they stopped at 1,022 words just because they stopped teaching words, but there was no indication that there was a limit. So I wonder what...
You know what was amazing to me about that story was that this dog has over 1,000 toys.
I know. That's what I thought,
that's
too.
A lot of toys for one dog.
1,022
I thought my cats had a lot of toys.
Objects.
If my mom has anything to do about it, do with it, they're going to get up to 1,000 toys, too. But that's a lot of dog toys.
Yeah, and that's a very good point. I thought of that as well. I was like, wow. And they were able to recognize that all of the 1,022 objects fell under the umbrella term toy.
Right.
Because it was an object that the dog was allowed to play with. But that they each had their own name. And I wonder what all the names were, too. Mm. Like, who knows?
Yeah.
They probably had to get pretty creative with that.
I would imagine. Squeaky, you know.
Frog, pig.
Yeah. Rawhide.
Whatever.
Yeah.
Hamburger.
The kids.
Right. Well, interesting. Again, I got that from sciencedaily.com. They have some great articles on there. The one about the origination of small dogs. And I did an interview with Jane Anderson last year in March. It was March of 2009. March of 2010. Oh, my gosh. It's a new year. She's the show chair of the Seattle Kennel Club Dog Show, which is coming up soon. Very excited about that. But we talked about the role that small dogs have played and you know, small dogs versus big dogs, and small dogs sort of being the first alert system, which is why they tend to be barky. But that's a good, if you want to learn more about that, check out that show. It's archived on the website, dogtalkshow.com. It's also available on iTunes as a free download audio podcast. You can also find the Dog Talk Show on Facebook. Just search for the Dog Talk Show with Julie Forbes. And we're also on Twitter, and our Twitter name is @DogTalkShow. And Facebook's great because I can communicate with fans throughout the week and talk about some events with my own dogs, as well as put some links or coupon codes, special offers from sponsors and stuff like that. Also, you know, announce events and be interactive as well. I posted this video of Levi on Facebook, and he's doing something. It looks like he's blowing kisses. but he's not. He's actually doing something else. But I posted the video up there and asked people what they thought he might be doing. And the woman who guessed correctly, actually. So,
is this a competition, or can you tell us what he was doing?
Oh, no, I already told he was. So it looked like he was like sort of puckering his lips, but he was actually looking out the window, but also kind of falling asleep. So I think there was a dog walking by the house. So he was half-heartedly growling. Well, just kind of, you know, grumbling at the dog, but also his eyes were sort of falling down and he was like kind of falling asleep. It's really cute, but it looks like he's like blowing kisses in the air. So anyway, Dog Talk Show on Facebook and Twitter. The website is dogtalkshow.com. My email address is host@dogtalkshow.com. So if you'd like my help with training or behavior, or if you'd like me to answer a question on air, you can email me the question. You can also email me if you'd like to receive a Dog Talk Show car sticker. They're very, very cute stickers. They're blue and orange, and they look just like the oval logo, which is on the website. And I'm happy to send you out as many as you want. So you can email me, host@dogtalkshow.com, and just let me know that you'd like a car sticker and give me your mailing address and I'll send it out to you. So reminder, the 100th episode celebration is a week from Saturday, January 22nd, 6 p.m. at Fido and Scratch, which is in Seattle. The address is 2809 Mount Rainier Drive South, Seattle, Washington, 98144. I would love to meet you. Would love to meet some listeners I have not met before. So please come if you can. And we'll be back same time, same place, Wednesdays from 2 to 3 p.m. Thanks for listening to the Dog Talk Show on Alternative Talk 1150.